You'll be able to discover who you are is by looking and reading and hearing the Word of God. That is the key. That is the key, fundamentally. So if we spend 99% of our time, or let's say 95% of our time, watching the news, listening to what people are saying, watching films, going about our day, you go to work, how are things? Oh yeah, not bad, not too bad. Oh, things are terrible. Why? Oh, the weather's horrible outside. So you're picking up all that information about how people determine or define their day by their feelings. You spend all that time and you spend 5% or 1% reading the Word of God. Who do you think you will identify with more? The car or the driver? Because guess what? When it gets dirty, when it rains, when the car has to go through a muddy field, let's just say, it's going to get dirty. It's going to get dirty, right? And when we're in this world and we're hearing so much information that is contrary, everyone say contrary, to God's word, it's almost as if this lovely white car can get dirty, the body, the soul. And we start to identify with the car. We start to identify with this old Adamic record of who we are. Let's just take, for example, this virus that's all over the news. I mean, can you just imagine the impact? If we just heard about this virus just the once on the news and that was it. All right? And that was it. It was just something fleeting. Do you think the impact it's having upon this nation would be the same as it is now? The impact is very much also connected with the fact that it is constantly on the news. Bearing in mind, the gospel is not good instruction, it's good news. Because God knows, and Satan knows, that the only way that you can actually believe something is by hearing information over and over and over and over again. So the enemy will just present bad news, and anything that is contrary to God's word is bad news, simply put. Anything that is different to what God has said, it may seem good, it may look good, but it is bad news. And Hitler said, this was what he said to the secret to revolutionizing the youth and getting them to embrace his philosophy was, if I can tell a lie 1,000 times, it becomes a truth. Just tell a lie 1,000 times, over and over and over and over and over. And guess what? People start to believe it. And when you start to hear what God says you're not, over and over and over and over and over and over again, and your feelings start telling you what God says you're not, over and over and over and over again, and your circumstances and your situations start telling you over and over and over again what God says you're not, what are you going to believe? Whose report, the Bible says, will you believe? Whose report will you believe? Katarayananta. We shall believe the report of the Lord. Amen? Amen? The only way to discern who you are is through the Word of God. Just take it and believe it. Your spiritual identity cannot be discerned through the 5 natural senses. It can't be discerned through your emotions or your feelings. It is not understood intellectually. It is not determined, listen to this, by your performance. It is not determined by your failure or your successes. It is only determined by hearing God's word and believing it. And that's why the gospel is so powerful. Because all that's required is for you to hear and believe. It makes it possible for any person in any country, in any tribe, doesn't matter if they're black, white, pink, purple, it doesn't matter whether they've got more degrees than a thermometer or they don't know what one and one is. Any single person can believe. That's why the gospel is powerful, because any single person has the ability to believe. You don't have to be smart, too smart to believe. That's the foolishness of the gospel. It's all that is required is to hear and believe. Thank you, Lord. So we are made of God's very substance. You can't see, you might be able to see the God in you, because when you see in the mirror, you see the car. But there is a driver. And that driver is made of the very substance of God. That driver is your spirit. And that's who God wants you to see. Amen? So you repeat after me. I am born of God. I am spirit. I am a life-giving spirit. Born of God. Born from above. That's who I am. Thank you, Lord. Okay, the next slide. You have your Heavenly Father's nature. God has given you not just His substance, but His nature. His very nature. I'm hoping this passage is correct now after my first mistake. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 to 4 says this. I'm just reading from the NLT as well. By His power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself, by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises, listen to this, that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desire. The Word of God right here is telling us that within you, you have the very nature of God Himself. Within you. And the best way that I could describe it really is by using animals. Because it's difficult to explain to someone or even to understand the concept that you have a nature of God who's spirit, whom you can't see, and it's just all kind of, it can feel quite out there. But with animals or with family, that is a good example. So let's just say this picture. There's daddy giraffe, there's mummy giraffe, then there's baby giraffe. Just kind of fading in the background, just there if you can see him. Now, the nature of the baby giraffe is exactly the same as his parents. The baby giraffe eats what the parent eats. It doesn't eat buffalo like the lion does. The baby giraffe walks on all four legs. It doesn't walk on all two. It doesn't walk on two like an ostrich does. The baby giraffe doesn't live in the sea like the shark. It lives on land with his parents. One philosopher said, "Nature is born, the character is built, and personality is developed." If nature is such, then it is not easy to change a person's nature. Neither can a dog be made into a horse, nor can a cat be made into a cow. Sadie says, the kitten in the end proves to be a kitten, even if it were kept on the queen's sofa, petted and kissed and loved and cared for. When the mouse comes, it will show it is a cat. Nature. So we have baby giraffes and baby animals, acting in the same nature as their parents. However, human beings are the only species that for some reason we were crowned to be made the greatest creation of God's, we were the greatest creation of God's handiwork. But yet, out of all the species that God has made, we are the ones that do not know who we are. We are the ones that do not act in accordance with our nature. We don't. Because the enemy knows that if he can just confuse you in your identity, confuse you in your nature, he's got you. The first, what did Satan say to Adam and Eve? What did Satan say to Eve? He said this: if you eat from this tree, then you will become like God. He wanted to plant a seed of doubt to get Eve to question whether she really was like God. Because Eve was as much like God as she could have been. But if Satan was able to trick Eve into getting her to think that she has to do something to become, what will actually happen with is she will fall short of who she is, because you can never do anything to become what God has made you. It is impossible. There is no kind of work or effort or performance that can qualify you to become a new creation. But the moment we are born again, we give our life to Jesus, he's in us, and we start walking the walk and discovering him. If the enemy can get us to once again doubt and question who we are because we're looking at the car and we've forgotten the driver and we identify more with the car because the car's dirty, you're feeling sick, you're feeling bad, you've had a bad day, you've made mistakes, you start to identify with them. You will start to try and do something once again to become. You'll take the car to the car wash thinking that if the car is clean, you're okay again. But the driver remained clean because the driver was in the car. Do you understand? We identify with the car. What do you think? What did Satan say to Jesus after Jesus audibly heard from God, "This is my beloved son, identity, in whom I am well pleased"? What did Satan say? "If you are the son of God, then turn this rock, this stone, tell it to become bread. Speak to it." He was trying to get Jesus to do something so that he might become just like Eve. Identity crisis. Just take a stop and just think. Nothing just happens. This isn't an issue that's just affected the church. This is an issue that's affected humankind. To the point where we have reached a stage that in this nation, backed by law, backed by policy, a child can say, "I feel like I'm a girl, even though I'm a boy," and no one can touch it now. Okay, that's what you identify with. They've created more gender nouns, pronouns, call it what it would. Absolute confusion. Never mind the church. Now it's hit the world. But what is an issue in the natural like this is a symptom of what's going on in the spiritual. We are in an age of spiritual confusion when it comes to identity. Spiritual confusion. But for us who are born of God, we carry the very nature of God himself. just like a baby giraffe, carries the DNA and the traits of daddy giraffe and mommy giraffe within our born-again spirits. The driver of the car carries the very nature of God. And it says here that you have received, we share in God's divine nature. Amen? What a privilege. What a privilege. So what does that mean? It means this. That we choose to believe that no matter how messy or dirty the car gets, the driver remains clean. The driver remains intact. Why? Because the driver is in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And in Christ there is no condemnation. See, if there's no condemnation, it means there can be no sin in Christ also. True? There could be no transgressions of sin because condemnation works where there's been a transgression of sin. But in Christ, there's no transgression of sin. There's no breaking of the law because Christ has died to the law. We have died to the law. In him, we are a new, everyone say, new creation. You have to ask yourself, can God the Father sin? Sorry? Yes or no? No. And who are you in now? You're in Christ. Christ did not only not sin, he died to sin after he became sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But if we identify with the car, we can receive condemnation. If we identify with the car, we can accept the accusational voices of the enemy. Do you understand? If we identify with what's going on, if we put our performance and our behavior above everything else because we think that's how God relates to us, we think that's how God treats us. And why do we think that? Because we live in a performance-based society. Good behavior gets rewarded. True? You achieve those stats. You achieve your goals at work, you might get a pay rise. Yeah. A little boy, little girl does something really lovely. Oh, good boy, good girl. Here's a lolly. Someone does something bad. Hey. Prison. Or shame. Or guilt. Or regret. Or punishment as a child. We live in a performance-based society. True? So because we live in a performance-based society, when we meet with God and we discover grace and we discover someone who does not relate to us or treat us based on our performance, but based on the fact that we carry his image. We bear his image. And in Christ we've become made new and that we are his children. That he relates to us based on that. That he loves us just as much as he loved his firstborn son, Jesus. We think, oh, this is new. How easy is it to fall back into old habits? Very, very easy. Because it took a lot longer for Egypt to come out of the Jews than it did for the Jews to come out of Egypt. Takes a lot longer for the mindset and the thought patterns and the thinking that's so ingrained within us. But the moment we start to strip it down and we let it go and we say, hang on a minute, God, should I dare believe that you really truly love me? Not because of how I behave, but because I've been made new in Christ Jesus? Is it really true? Let me tell you this. Everything that we think about God and believe about God may not be accurate, but everything God believes about you is 100% true. 100% true. Everything. It is easy to believe that God is who he says he is. The challenge is believing that we are who he says we are. But if we can believe that God is that good, if we can believe that we carry his very nature, just like him, that when he sees us, he sees Christ. If we can believe that, and we start to focus more on the driver instead of the car, we'll begin to express his nature. His nature will come out from within us, naturally. The challenge of Christianity is this. You can have two people doing the same thing, and in God's eyes, one can be seen and accepted, and the other totally rejected. How? Well, you can have a Christian who, let's just say, is praying or helping those who are in need. Okay? We use those two. Praying, helping those that are in need. Everyone say praying. Helping those in need. One Christian is saying, I need to do something to become. They're focused on the car, and they think, in order to reach God's standard, I need to give, help, pray. And then I will become holy. Then I will be accepted by God. Do you understand? They're trying to do something to become. That's flesh. That's using your self-effort. Because you don't know who you are, it's like you'll never reach that standard. Because you can never qualify to become what he's already made you. And therefore, God cannot accept that. Because you know, God is a far better gift giver than he is a wage payer. He's a far better gift giver than he is a wage payer. If he gave you what you deserve, none of us would be here. But he's given you the gift of salvation, something you can never earn. He's a far better gift giver than he is a wage payer. So you've got one person who's trying, and God will reject that. They're trying, and the purpose of the law was to show and to prove that you cannot meet his standards. It's impossible. It was to show our need for him. Remember the guy that Jesus used. He uses this example. He's talking about two men, right? Two men, they're in a temple, and they're both praying. And one man was like, Father Lord, I thank you that I'm not like this sinner over here. I'm just kind of mixing up. I give my tithes, I help, I do this, I go to church, I'm on the neighborhood watch, I don't watch Pokemon, I just gives a list of all the things he does. And the Bible, and Jesus says, that person did not leave the temple justified in the eyes of God. Because if you try and bring what you do before God, saying, this is what I've, accept me, I've matched that, he says, no. Another one realized his need for God and realized how much in himself he cannot do anything to become. Father, have mercy on me. I need you. I need your help. That's where grace can come in. Amen. The next point is, you have the character of Jesus Christ. The character of Jesus Christ. So what does this tell us? It tells us this. If you want to know who you are, the key is not to look within, but it is to look at Christ. He should be the role model, the point of reference. You know, I've heard the stories. We've probably heard the stories. You know, the preacher gets up and says, some of you might be a Martha, and others you might be like a Mary, and you know, some of you might be like a Peter, and some of you might be like a John. And no, the reality is, you are just like Christ. Because if you try and connect to these individuals, and maybe in personality and in some respects there might be some similarities, but God is saying, you are like Christ. He is your point of reference. Amen? Say, I am. Just like Christ. 1 John 4:17 says, because as he is, as Jesus is, so also are we in this world. As Jesus is, so also are we in this world. I believe that truth, the Holy Spirit, is guiding this church too. Is he desires for us to grow more and more in identification, identifying with Christ. So what does identification mean? So it is a psychological process whereby which the individual assimilates an aspect, property, or attribute of the other and is transformed wholly or partially by the model that other provides. It is by means of a series of identifications that the personality is constituted and specified. In one sense, just to break it down, in its simple format, it is to be like or to become like another. That's what identification means. It is to be like or to become like another. And God's desire is that we identify ourselves with Christ Jesus. Because he is also the one in the car seat driving the car. Because what is true of Christ is true of you. And what is true of you is true of Christ. The Bible says you are one with Christ. One with Christ. It's almost as if you were to imagine a jam jar. I wish I brought a jam jar. Okay, what's inside the jam? If the jam was full of jam, if the jam jar was full of jam, all right, and it's closed and it's locked, and I said 50% of the contents is Jesus, and 50% is you, represents you. Would you be able to tell what is what? Would you be able to see the dividing line? No. In that sense, you and Jesus are one. Amen? The contents of what's in Jesus is fully in you, and what is fully in you is fully in Jesus. That's how we should that's what we need to identify. So when we read the Bible and we read in the life of Jesus, it shouldn't be, God, oh man, I would love to do that. It should be, that's me. You need to close your eyes and start identifying and see yourself healing like Jesus healed. See yourself raising the dead like Jesus raised the dead. See yourself much brighter on the inside than you are on the outside. Amen? Next slide. Smith Wigglesworth said this. Smith Wigglesworth, that would have been the next slide. But this is identifying, learning to identify with Christ means we have to let go of performance and behavior and experience. Put it to one side. When it comes to who you are before God, we need to put that to one side. Put it to one side. Surrender. Identify with Christ. Put Christ beyond what you're doing. Put Christ beyond and before your performance. How many times you did this? How many times you did that? Put Christ. Look at Christ. Think that God is seeing Christ when he sees you. Amen? Because Paul said, I no longer live, but Christ lives within me. Next slide. Because this is what Smith said. I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. That's what God wants us to see. And as we start to believe this and embrace this, guess what the fruits will be? Actions, good works. The other person in the scenario who's maybe helping the needy and giving and praying, they may be doing it from a place of knowing who they are. And God will see that person and accept, because they are doing it from a place of knowing who they are. Amen? I actually wrote a poem that really conveys this truth. Next slide. And I can maybe just stop believing the enemy. The enemy deceives. He makes you believe that you have to achieve in order to receive. God is grieved because him you don't believe. Let's lay aside achievements. Next slide. However, God is pleased when we just believe him. Christ's fullness we just receive. Of Adam's record we take our leave. God's word only we will perceive. And in time we will achieve. Amen. That's our call. Let's learn to identify with who we are in Christ. Let's pray. Can we just stand? My encouragement would be, can we just start to thank God for who he has made us in Christ Jesus? Just to start to open your mouth and thank him for who he is. You know, there's a three-way response to the gospel, 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. There's always going to be a threefold response to the good news. You might hear this good news and think, oh man, I received this, and maybe, you know, in the future when I die, by and by in heaven, great, I'll enjoy all the privileges that God has for me, you know, and you can rely on medical care and all things external. That's fine. God sees that, and he says, if that's where your faith is at, he'll ride with it. A 60-fold is someone who can hear the good news, hear the gospel, okay, believe in the gifts, believe in the Holy Spirit, and they believe they're living on earth with heaven's supply. And with that 60-fold, when they're sick, they can receive someone to lay hands on them, or they can receive, they can connect with someone who believes, right? But God is looking for 100-fold people also. And the 100-fold people are those when, if they feel sick, they don't go to someone for prayer. They just speak the word and command it to go, and it leaves. The 100-fold person is the one who knows who they fully are in Christ. They live in heaven with Christ, seated in heavenly places, and from there they release heaven supply. The 100-fold believer is the one who's able to say, so let's just say a 60-fold believer is someone who, we'll use sickness as an example. A 30-fold believer would rely on medicine. God loves that. He wants you to be healed, receive. Amen? A 60-fold believer will say, God, heal me. I believe in healing. They get healing. They receive healing. They get the hands laid on them. A 100-fold believer, God will ask them, there's sickness over here. What are you going to do about it? Because the perspective is different. They identify with Christ. They see themselves as a walking, talking solution. They see themselves as, I am someone the world is looking for. For all creation is groaning. All creation is waiting for the sons of who? It doesn't say Jesus. It says for the sons of God. The manifestation of the sons of God. That's what creation is looking for. Creation is saying, there's the sons of God. The sons of men put us in this mess, but the sons of God, they're the ones that can set us free. Their glory can set us free. Their glory can set us free. Will you believe? Will you believe? Start to open your mouth and start to thank him. And if you want that lifestyle, that 100-fold 100-fold lifestyle. Just take, receive it as a gift. Say, I want that. I want to identify fully with Christ. I want to be someone that isn't afraid of any sickness, but I'll be able to go to a place and release healing and wipe away sickness from a town, from a community. I want to be that. If that's you, just say, I receive it as a gift. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. There's nothing you can do to obtain it. But you just say, God, I believe you're that God that you've made me just like Christ. Just like Christ. And what is true of him is true of me. And I accept it as a gift. I accept it. I'm going to focus on the driver, not the car. I'm going to be, I and Jesus, we are the same. What is true of Christ is true of me. If that's you, just receive it. Say, God, I accept this gift. God, I believe this. And I identify with Christ. And the Spirit of the Lord says, Katara Baba Sokos unto this church, Kasi Asa Kaskasikeskasikento, Nimeka, that I have left a remnant here, I have left a seed here. Some people see an apple tree when they see a seed, but I see a forest. And in this seed, makas of this church, I see a forest. If you dare to believe I am that good, from this place I can release such a bushfire, where I will light the flame and I will blow that this bushfire will go along the coastline of the southeast, Margate, Ramsgate, Dover, Folkestone, Maka Herms Bay, Maka Zi Araiska Riska Riaska Zikaska Zikento, Mapa Paka Zikaska Zikento, Nipipi Kaska Zikento, my burning ones who believe, Maka Zika Zikeska, that I am who I say I am, but burning ones who believe that they are who God says they are, they have what God says they have, they can do what God says that they can do. Don't look at your age, don't look at your qualifications, don't look at the color of your skin, don't look at your ability, don't look at your strength, look at Christ. He is your point of reference. He is the one who dwells within you. If you dare to believe, makazi, greater things will follow, greater works will follow, greater things are to come. Mikin tasa kasi apaya laiske riaiske rianta mazi taroske rinta riaiske riaiske, dare to believe. Shatara baba basokotoriatariato. Mapa papa kaska. For the glory of the new covenant is greater than the glory of the old. Kasia tariask, you are life-giving spirits. Manturaka kasikaska sikemto. Ma created to release life and liberate this creation from its bondage to decay. Liberate creation. Makaska zikeska zikantai kariaska riaska. If you want this, just stretch out your hands and say, God, I thank you. I receive this. I receive this as a gift. I receive you as a gift. I receive your goodness as a gift. Your provision as a gift. Your supply as a gift. Your presence as a gift. Your power as a gift. Your grace as a gift. Your righteousness as a gift. Open my eyes to see what you show. To see Christ so that my soul becomes like him. For as Jesus is, so am I in this world.
This morning, and maybe you've thought about it and you said that sometimes you've doubted who you are, or maybe you've not even identified who you are in Christ Jesus. Maybe you're thinking that I am who I am and God is who God is. But one thing you've heard this morning is that you are the same person that God has made you to be. And he wants you to believe that word of God in your life. He's created you in his own image. Not just that alone. He's also redeemed you into the image of Christ. And because of that redemption, you are now acceptable before God. You are no longer a condemned person. And if you're here this morning and you just need to renew your covenant with God this morning, God is here. You need to renew yourself and re-identify yourself once again and say, look, I have walked away from your plan and from your purpose in my life. Why don't you feel free to just speak to God this morning? And if you want to come forward and let's just join together in prayer of faith, but why don't you just come forward? Let's just pray together this morning. God has a plan and purpose for you. He's created you in his image for a reason. To show forth his glory to the world. To show forth his light to the world. But you first of all need to identify yourself as part of that plan of God, as part of that purpose of God, for you to be able to bring forth that light of God. Just feel free to speak to God this morning. It's a great opportunity to know that God has a plan for you. He has already made you in his own image. You are one. You've been made one with God. It is not a Bible story. It is a reality. It is not a story. It is a reality. Your personality in God is a reality. Why don't you just speak to God this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And as we're going to round up now, as we round up, if you want to have a word with our brother here, please feel free to stand, to stay.